Welcome to the Chick Foley Show.
What is up, Foley fam? We are here for a live-ish review of Backlash France. We had soccer, karate, and about four or five other different things going on today. So we watched Backlash on a four-hour delay, which ended up being pretty dang nice. And we're going to give you our live reactions here tonight. But first, let me introduce the star of the show, Sheena. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It was we went on airplane mode. We went in our group. We posted our live thread. We posted for listener mail for tonight's show, and then we basically just like went off the map for to avoid spoilers for tonight's show. But yeah, it was a great show, and I'm excited to talk about it.
I was legit off the grid for 8 hours, man.
Yeah,
from the moment we left to go to the soccer game until until we saw Cody pin AJ, I was off the grid.
Yeah, because I mean, you were coaching, and then the event started, and it was like off to the races.
All right, Sheena, let us know what's new on the farm.
What is new on the farm? I don't even know. I don't think we have any updates for the farm.
Yeah, the horns taken off Myrtle. You had a new turtle to the backyard flock. Like, come on, dude.
Well, maybe you should do the farm updates. You know me, I can't keep up. I can't keep my week straight. It's just like the time just kind of passes by. But yeah, I had to take my poor little baby goat Myrtle in to get disbudded. It's where they just kind of like sear the horn buds and keep them from growing. It's a personal decision whether you decide to do it or not. But in our situation with young kids and with the other goats already have been disbudded when we got them, it was just going to be the best situation for like not one goat to have horns and could potentially hurt the other ones or hurt the kids and stuff like that. And she did really well. It's a quick little procedure. It's nothing like too invasive. So, it went well. I was worried, but she did awesome. And then Seth found us another turtle. We had Tully.
Now we have his girlfriend.
And now we have his girlfriend, Tara.
Can't just be coincidence either. So we'd only seen Tully since last September. We'd seen Tully pop up once in the backyard. I brought a female Eastern box turtle to the backyard, and we saw Tully the same day.
Yeah,
it can't be a coincidence.
The pheromones were on fleek that day, dude. They were floating around the yard. So yeah, Tully was out in full force that day.
All right, Sheena, do you want to talk about countertop gate? Us dealing with the the controversy and issues picking out new countertops for the house.
Oh my God, you guys, I don't know how many of you have either done like a new build or done like renovations or whatever, but Seth and I, for those of you who don't know, in Seth's shoot life, he's in the military and we move a lot. So we've been serial renters up until this point, right? Like, cause we're, no sense in packing or buying a house and then
moving
packing
every 2.5 years.
Yeah. So, Hawaii, we were there for an extended period of time. We actually considered buying in Hawaii, but then we never pulled the trigger on it.
We had an amazing housing situation.
We had amazing housing situation. So it just kind of made us comfortable enough not to pull the trigger on a house in Hawaii. But yeah, we've been serial renters. So really we've just kind of like settled and been happy with what we've had and made the best of the houses that we've had. And we've been very lucky to have like some really, comfortable, nice living situations. So now that we own our house, we're looking at things like, we could update the countertops. We could, do this, that, and the other. And let me just tell you guys, like I hate these kind of decisions because there's just too many, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they make it impossible for you to just go in and make a simple decision. Cause I'm like, well, I got to get these countertops. There's like 20 different materials of countertops, all ranging from like,
cut hairs difference between them, but you never know. It's going to be permanent. So you want to make sure you pick the one you absolutely like the best.
Right. Exactly. And I'm going through here. We went to this warehouse where there's like, just slabs and slabs of all these different countertops and everything,
quartz,
right? Yeah,
granite,
quartz, granite, quartzite, soapstone, marble. And of course, everyone I picked out, we knew, we kind of wanted to stay, we're not bougie enough to like be doing the quartzite countertops. But yeah, everyone I picked out, she was like, yeah, that's quartzite. I'm like, God dang it. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do here. It's just like there's too many decisions. So anybody who's ever renovated a house, I feel for you. I'm almost like just convinced to just leave them the same because I don't want to make a decision.
Too many decisions is the death of decision.
It really is. That's like legit, like a, they've done studies on that too. Like they did like a study where they put like all these different types of jam on an end cap and, the people, like most people, they would look at it and then they would walk away and not buy nothing. They changed the end cap to have like two different varieties of jam and the jam like sold like 10 times as much because there was only two choices versus like, you know, having 10 choices there. Yeah. So
like I said, I mean, it's a lot of money, so I want to be intentional on what we decide. But at the same time, like we're looking through and like I said, there's like nine that if you ask me right now to tell you the difference between them, like it'd be impossible for me to really articulate.
Well, you got to think. I mean, the thing is once you change one thing, like I'm cool. I like our cabinets and everything. But it's like, do the countertops match the floor? Are they going to make the cabinets?
Does the carpet match the drapes?
Yeah, exactly. Does the carpet match the drapes? But yeah, it's I hope I'm not boring you guys to death, but yeah, I hate this. So I never want to have to build a house from scratch. So, you know.
All right. Sheena, remind the listeners where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Instagram at Chick Foley, Marco running the Twitter machine over at Chick Foley Show, and join our Foley fam and all the fun we're having over on Facebook at chickfoley.com.
I want to let you guys know we got a very special episode coming next week. We're going to be, for the first time in about 3 years, we're going to be joining up with Scott and Jeff at Fully Posable and doing a joint episode. So me and Sheena will be hopping on. I think for the most part, it's going to be an episode of the Fully Posable podcast, but me and Sheena are going to be there and it's going to be shared audio. So basically, we're going to hop on and join the Toon Brothers to record an episode of their amazing podcast. And they're going to share the MP3 with us and it'll be posted on our feed. And there's going to be an incredible, incredible giveaway for that. We're going to be handing out a Jazzwares Vault Malachi Black. So all you're going to need to do is send proof that you listened to the episode and you'll be entered for a random drawing to win. You know, what's got a good chance of being the figure of the year for 2024. So stay tuned for details on that. Keep it locked on Sheena's Instagram. We'll make sure we share there how to enter for the drawing, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Always enjoy, you know, getting back in touch with the Toon Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're awesome. If you aren't subscribed to Fully Posable, like what are you waiting for?
All right, Sheena, you ready to talk backlash?
Mm-hmm. All right. So we had backlash. We flew our asses all the way to France for backlash. The crowd was freaking lit. That was the first thing I noticed. Like,
all timer of a crowd.
Yeah,
dude.
They were just, I mean, the whole night they were just up, like all the way up, which was super cool. I saw some people saying like most annoying crowd ever, but
no,
I'm here
awesome.
For it, dude. I would much rather, and it wasn't, they weren't detracting. Like some American crowds I've seen try to like go into business for themselves and like the beach ball gate and all that kind of stuff where they're like being obnoxiously loud. Like this crowd was just into it.
They were
dude.
Showing and love to the performers.
Yeah, they were showing love to the
very,
performers.
You know, it's funny because Backlash last year was an amazing show down in San Juan, Puerto Rico for a lot
yes.
of the same reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a B-show vibe, but the crowd just elevates it to a whole different level.
Yeah, that shout out to all that. You know, we say it every time we have an international show, but shout out to the international crowds, guys. You guys are a ton of fun, man. Like, it's just that you can feel the energy, and it really makes all the matches seem so much more intense, and I loved it. So they were super awesome, and we kicked off the night with the Bloodline, Solo and Tama Tonga, against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And this was just an absolute banger to kick off the night. So before the bell hadn't even rung and these guys are like tearing each other's heads off, dude. They come out and they're like, you know what? If you guys want to do this, we're just going to go freaking street fight rules. And from then on, dude, it was just a freaking banger. What did you think about the opening match?
Awesome start to the show. I mean, it had kind of like house show vibes, but I loved it, dude. Like it was just perfect with security coming out for a second. You almost think like, damn, are we not getting this match? Is this just going to be a freaking, yes. you know, schmoz and it goes away. And Nick Aldis comes out and says, nope, we're going no DQ. Just sets the place on fire. And then the guys delivered, man. They went out and just performed excellently.
Yeah. And, you know, we had thought maybe Jacob Fatu was going to show up, but no, dude, the freaking Gorillas of Destiny have reunited and we got Tongaloa. And yeah, it was awesome, man. And you know, with the interference, like, because there was points in the match, like I picked the Bloodline, but there were points in the match I was like, damn, Randy and KO are gonna win this thing, you know. But with Tongaloa coming in, I think it really just helped, you know, protect Randy and KO, and then, you know, gave Solo and Tama Tonga the you know, the win that they needed to get the momentum in their favor.
It's crazy because obviously Jacob Fatu signing with WWE has been well publicized. I had not heard that Tongaloa had signed. I really hadn't heard Tama Tonga had signed either before he showed up. So
yeah.
This was a legit surprise. I think everybody was kind of expecting and fantasy booking Jacob Fatu to show up, but Tongaloa showing up is cool as hell, man. Like it was a little bit of a swerve. You know, we got the Sons of Haku, Guerrillas of Destiny back, and I'm loving the totally new direction the Bloodline's going in.
Yeah, this Bloodline, the Bloodline storyline is just one that will not quit, dude. Like, it's just, there's just intrigue around every corner. And the way, I mean, even they played it, they drug it out throughout the night. So it wasn't even just like, you know, Tonga Loa came back, dude. Like, the Guerrillas of Destiny walk by Jey Uso and give him the once over, dude. And you see Paul Heyman just kind of like looking at
it. Begging Jey to come back.
Yeah.
Dude. Come back home, Jey. You can just restore some order.
You can just see it in his eyes, dude, that he's just, yeah, just like, oh my God, I can't believe what's going on here. So,
the Bloodline used to be the Sopranos, and now it's the freaking Bloods and Crips, man. Like, they went from being the mob to just a street gang. And obviously, Paul Heyman's uncomfortable with it, but he's too scared to leave. Like, I can just already picture it now. I was talking to Sheena during the show, dude. Once it finally comes to fruition and we got, you know, Bloodline 2.0 going against Roman and the OG Usos, and when Sammy comes out to help him, it's going to be an all-timer of a moment.
Yeah, I cannot wait, dude. So, yeah. And you know, what's so exciting is we know that we have this build that's going to come up. You know, we already can look forward to next year's Mania because we're on the road. We're on the Bloodline's road to WrestleMania. Right freaking now, dude.
So do you think The Rock is affiliated with these new guys? Do you think he's really the one pulling the strings and calling the shots?
I would think so, dude. I would think, I mean, ultimately, like, as cool as it is, like, for Solo to be, like, you know, the acting tribal chief, as it were, I feel like, you know, the puppet master is really The Rock, dude. And like you said, it's going to come down to reuniting the Usos and Sammy, kind of like, you know, the Heart Foundation. And Roman's going
to
get out
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy Jey, look what they've done to us.
Look what they've done to us.
They've turned us into a bunch of haters.
Yeah. They don't like family. They try to break apart the family.
Jey, when me and you fought at SummerSlam, we fought like men.
Yeah, I can totally see Jey just like breaking down in tears, dude.
See Jimmy being the Owen in the situation, dude. I see
really?
Jey's going to be the bulldog, dude. I see, you know, Jimmy's the comedy guy, dude. He's going to be the one shedding tears.
Oh, yeah.
When they reunite. But yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. I could see it too, dude. The Rock's in charge of these guys who are just straight up hooligans, turning the violence up. You know, the Rock on his final boss run, the one thing he definitely cranked up was just like the meanness, right? Mm-hmm. Roman was always cool, dude. Like, Roman was evil, but he was cool. The Rock was like mean,
unhinged,
and violent. Yeah. So I see it. And the other thing, it really kind of makes sense. If you follow on social media through the years, The Rock and Haku have always been tight, dude. Rock bought Haku a nice, like a badass, fully loaded F-150 a couple years ago for his birthday. So it makes sense that you got The Rock, Solo, and you know, now the Sons of Haku, Guerrillas of Destiny, rolling together. Remember when Solo came in, dude, it all ties in, man. They planted these seeds. When Solo came in, the explanation was that he was sent from the elders. Mm-hmm. I remember there was that funny meme that was going around at the time where it showed, like, you know, at the top, it'd be like, you know, Solo Sokoa was sent by the elders, and at the bottom, it'd be The Rock on his cell phone, like, Solo, go see what your crazy ass cousins are doing.
Yeah, that was before The Rock ever even, like, sniffed.
Was back in the mix, yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. Dude, they weren't lying. When they said the Bloodline was only in the third inning last year, they were not lying, man, because this story, like, it's almost more intriguing than ever. And, dude, we still know where Jacob Fatu is going. For those that haven't seen, Jacob Fatu is nuts, dude. He's like, if you mixed Solo and like Jey Uso together, that's what he is. He's got the size of Solo, but he's got like the speed and agility of Jey Uso. He's going to be insane. I'm wondering if he even gets involved in the Bloodline now, dude. I'm thinking, like, now that they got Tonga in there, maybe we see Jacob just go down to NXT and be like, you know, in the main event scene in the NXT for a while now. I don't know. I'm really excited to see where this goes. It's, you know, besides everything going on with Cody, I think Bloodline's still the number two story in WWE right now.
For sure. Definitely. Yeah. So awesome match to kick off the show. Next up, it was a triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship, Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffy Time. And I thought this match delivered, man. I thought Tiffany Stratton looked freaking amazing. I was surprised that she didn't find a spot on the Mania card at some point after her Elimination Chamber performance. But yeah, she came to Backlash and showed out. And so, yeah, ultimately Bayley got the win. But yeah, it was an awesome match by all three ladies.
Another really good match. Tiffany Stratton goes up another level. I think she was the standout out of the three of them, even though she didn't come away with a dub. And I'm calling it right now. I don't know if it's going to be the Royal Rumble or the Women's Elimination Chamber, but Tiffany Stratton will be fighting for a championship at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, maybe she wins Money in the Bank.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we got Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. It was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Dude, Jey Uso, like, the again, the crowd was just lit, dude. And then you got Jey Uso doing the freaking, you know, Eminem, the 8 Mile, and the Fireflies. So they had the lights on their cell phones, dude. So you have all these dancing, yeeting Fireflies just in the audience, dude. And the audience is all, like, blacked out. And it was just, it was an incredible visual. So I'm loving that.
I think the French crowd, they started something that's going to be a permanent part of Jey Uso's presentation from now on, because they started it on SmackDown last night. I think like you said, the dancing Fireflies, I think that's going to be a part of the entrance from now on. Like, it was crazy.
It was cool. Yeah. And they did like a wide shot. And I mean, it was literally just all these like lights just, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. I thought this match was great. I thought it set up some really cool stuff for the demise of Judgment Day. You know, you had JD McDonagh come in and help Damian Priest against his will. You know, Damian wanted to do this on his own. He wanted to, like, you know, show everybody that he could beat main event Jey Uso and defend his title. And then, you know, you had Finn and JD McDonagh coming in, kind of just, you know, helping him where he didn't need help. So and at the end, you know, they showed solidarity, you know, but you can definitely tell there's some seeds of dissension that have been sown. So
I'll call it right now. I think Finn Balor's taking that belt off Damian Priest, man. You know, Finn and JD, they're blood brothers, dude. Like, they're never gonna break up, man. I see them end up turning against him, and I see Finn end up walking away, being the next World Heavyweight Championship. I thought it was a great match. Got to give props to Damian Priest wrestling in the Dirty Bread Jordan 13s. I thought it was a great look. Jey did his thing, man. They need to be careful with Jey. I think we need to get him in a program, whether he gets back with the Bloodline or not. He needs to be away from a championship, because I feel like we're starting to get to a point where we've seen him lose too many high-profile championship matches.
He needs to pick an opponent that doesn't have a faction behind him, dude.
Yeah, exactly. He needs screwed. To go one-on-one, dude. Yeah. He lost to Roman at SummerSlam, lost to Gunther, you know, on that Raw during the road to WrestleMania, and now we see him lose another one to Damian Priest, man. I hope he doesn't become, like, I fear what Jey is going to be is the new Dolph Ziggler. I feel like he's in the warning area for that, being the guy who is always over, yeah. always over with the fans, right? No matter what, he's always going to be over.
He's always going to deliver.
Always going to have an awesome-ass match, and he's bulletproof, right? Like, even if he loses, he's still over. And I think that's a dangerous spot to be in. You know, Dolph talked about that. He said, on an interview since he left WWE, he said he felt like he kind of got in that Mr. Perfect spot where he's so good and so dependable that they know we always have this guy as, like, upper mid-card, lower main event scene. And he will deliver no matter what.
Yeah,
but
break
we don't,
glass in case of
yeah,
emergency.
But we don't actually have to, like, invest in having him win. He's just there for us no matter what. And it kind of feels like Jey might be going to that spot. I hope I'm wrong, because, you know, I still feel like Jey should have been the guy to win the belt from Roman, man, if we're keeping it real.
Yeah.
But
I mean, in hindsight, like, you know, at the time I was like, damn, dude, like, that was the moment. But in hindsight, like, think about how different, like, the blood, like, of this whole storyline would have went if Jey would have taken the belt off of Roman, even if Roman had won it. Cause, like, the whole thing was that Roman went 1,316 days, you know what I mean? So, like, I think it would have changed the whole landscape of the Bloodline. So, I mean, ultimately I'm glad it didn't happen.
Well, he was already past 1,000 days at SummerSlam.
True, but still, dude.
It needed to happen at Mania, though. Yeah. It got to a point where, it would have been weird if Roman lost at any event outside of WrestleMania.
So, yeah, super awesome. Shout out to Damian Priest for most improved look since the start of his WWE tenure, dude. I used to just absolutely clown on Damian Priest, and he looks tough now, dude. I mean, he's like super, I mean, he's always been jacked, but, like, now he's super jacked, tan, got the makeup on point, got the hair on point, got the gear on point. He's just made a total turnaround. So
he's got a good aura about him.
Yeah. So shout out to him, dude, because there was a point when I was like, why are we watching Damian Priest? Like, why are they putting Damian Priest on my freaking television? So,
hey, something I forgot to mention. We were talking about that first match. We were talking about how good of an authority figure Nick Aldis is. You realize he's only 37 years old.
Wow.
Like, he's younger than Roman and Seth. And
he's younger than both of us.
Yeah. Younger than both of us, man. Like, it's kind of crazy. He carries himself as a much older gentleman. But, you got to figure he's going to get back in the ring at some point.
Oh, yeah. I do want to give a shout out. If you go back and watch this event, you need to watch because, you know, Jey came down through the audience, right? And so this just goes to show you how absolutely distracted, like, we get on our phones, right? And how just immersive these screens are. there's this guy, he's pointing his phone at the ring, waiting for Jey Uso to come, like, I guess, down the ring.
He was kind of filming the crowd, too. He was getting the vibe, so we'll give him a little bit of credit, right? It was a vibe. He wasn't, like, just, you know, scrolling Twitter.
True, yeah. He was
trying to capture the moment.
He was recording, capturing the moment.
He didn't realize, though.
But Jey Uso is right freaking behind him, dude.
Literally, like, if he got on his tippy toes, Jey would have been smacking him in the head while he was doing, like, the Eminem move.
Yeah, man. Dude. So it was so funny because, like, this, they showed a shot from behind Jey Uso, and you see, like, everybody's kind of turned around, like, you know, doing the Eminem toward Jey Uso, and there's this one guy that's got his phone, like, pointed out toward the ring and toward the other side.
I mean, he would have
had
just, like, the absolute best footage ever if he turns around.
Total viral, like, YouTube fodder, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, and granted, good for him that he didn't, like, put the phone right in Jay's face like that douchebag from Monday Night Raw with Seth Rollins. So, you know, there is that, too, so... But yeah, if you go back and watch, be on the lookout for that guy during Jey's entrance. It was just funny and really kind of just a sign of the times. Next up, we had a tag team women's match, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus the Kabuki Warriors. I mean, is there a women's tag team that is more absolutely just phenomenal and, like, you know, just commands a presence like Bianca and Jade?
This is the equivalent of when Stone Cold and Triple H had the two-man power trip going back in 2001, dude. Like, you can't beat them, man, unless you got to bring a whole-ass faction against them or hope that they just self-destruct. Like, they are absolutely unstoppable. I do think that's where we're going. We're going to get a badass Jade versus Bianca match.
Yeah, Jade's got to go full heel, dude.
Yeah, that feels like a premier match at SummerSlam this year. But these guys are awesome, dude. Jade looked like $1 million. Bianca looked as good as she always did. And shouts out to Kairi and Asuka, dude. Awesome women's tag title reign. I think they kind of elevated those belts a little bit. They felt cursed for the last couple years for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, they had a nice little four-month run with them. I thought Asuka's face paint was crazy. I don't know if they had a different face paint guy in France or whatever, but Asuka looked like, I mean, she looked like she could have been in a scary movie.
She did. And she had it was like an iridescent sheen to it too. So when the light would hit it a certain way, it just kind of shimmer. It was really, really cool.
Yeah. I feel like we really take Asuka and Kairi for granted. I mean, they're legit two of probably the top six or seven women's wrestlers in the world.
Yeah. They don't really have bad matches.
No.
You know?
Yeah. And it was
not a thing.
Awesome match. Like I said, Jade looked crazy. That sequence at the end where she...
Against Kairi.
Yeah. Where she caught her, you know, threw up on her shoulders and spun her around, got her set up for the Jade.
Yeah. Then pressed her up overhead and then caught her on her hips. And
yeah. Just, I mean, it was just the wow factor was just there once again.
And it was smooth. I mean, there was no...
She made it look easy.
She made it look so easy, dude. Like, she could just, she was not even trying. It was incredible.
They just... WWE's got solid gold on their hands with Jade. As long as they continue to develop her and book her right, she could legitimately be one of the top two or three stars in all of wrestling.
Yeah, so we got, brand new tag champs, freaking Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. I loved it. They had matching gear. I mean, I wish, you know, I hope they get some,
We need a team name.
So, yeah, if you come up with a good team name for these guys, hit us up and we'll read it on the show next week. But, yeah, we definitely need a good Jade and Bianca team name.
I do got a quibble with this match. The tag ropes were absolutely ignored, man.
Yeah.
Now, dude, in 2024, I'm not a stickler for the tag ropes, right? Like, I'm totally cool if we just abandon that as a concept and say as long as you're on your side of the ring and make a tag, it's good. But if the ropes are there hanging from the turnbuckle, we got to honor them, dude. Like, ref, what are you doing, man? It makes the refs look bad, and it just looks sloppy. Like, if the rope is there hanging from the corner, you got to use it, man.
And I mean, and what's, you know, think about, like, how iconic those hot tags are when it's like, you know, you got the person
you're
hanging from the rope
over,
and you're reaching, you got the rope extended to full length,
dude.
And then
the
you're reaching your hand over the rope.
Man. Yeah, it does. And like I said, I'm not even sweating it, dude. I'm not that much of a traditionalist.
Yeah.
If you want to just say the tag rope's not a thing anymore, cool.
But
get rid of the rope.
There,
yeah. If it's there, you got to use it, man. So it distracted me. Maybe I was just, you know, baked from the sun after being outside pretty much all damn day, dude, and was just zoning in on this one thing. But it really bugged me because there was a couple times where it was just blatant that the rope's just hanging there while Asuka and Kairi are making tags.
Yeah. Make tag ropes matter again.
Yes.
And just like that, we're at the freaking main event, dude. This was a nice, crisp, clean card. Five matches. Cody Rhodes, versus AJ Styles for the Undisputed WWE.
So AJ's in the he's in the old Kane spot, man. Kane for years, if there was a newly crowned champ, the first feud would be with heel Kane.
Oh yeah.
Now it's AJ. You know, he had it in at WrestleMania 32 with Roman. He had it at WrestleMania 35 with Seth, and now you know, WrestleMania 40 with Cody. And the reason he's there is because he's always credible, right? Like, if you beat AJ, it matters.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, it matters beating AJ clean in the ring. And he always turns in a great match. Big fight feel, that French crowd, you know, the international audience was there for AJ. I love Michael Cole dropping the Bullet Club references that both these guys were heavy hitters for the
Forbidden
Bullet
Door
Club.
Is wide open, dude. Yeah. Yeah, they were making all kinds of references. They referenced the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought the match was awesome, man. I thought AJ did great. AJ's in some of the best shape of his whole career. Cody looked the part. I'm assuming this feud is over. I mean, AJ did beat his ass clean 1-2-3. So I'm excited to see where
Cody.
Yeah, excuse me. Cody beat his ass clean 1-2-3. So I'm excited to see where Cody goes from here. But I thought the match was awesome, man. Definitely it delivered as a main event.
Yeah, I loved AJ's purple gear. I thought he looked.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought
we
he
need AJ
awesome.
Taker figure ASAP, dude.
Yeah, I'm glad we're back to, like, you know, traditional AJ gear. For a moment there, I was worried about him.
He was looking
like
corporate Kane.
Yeah, you're going down a bad path, AJ. But he's got it back together, looking like a million bucks. And it was really cool because, you know, the French crowd was singing Cody's song word for word. I mean, like, and even once the music stopped.
He got the Judas treatment.
Yeah, he got the Judas treatment. And so they just kept singing. But as crazy as, like, I mean, every person in the arena was singing, and yet the crowd was still like so into AJ, dude. So like they were freaking there for AJ Styles tonight. But I mean, they were, I mean, again, the roof blew off the place when Cody won too. So
yeah, it was awesome match, man. Both guys delivered. I really hope we get a AJ figure in that black and purple. I've been wanting one. We're going on 6 years now, dude. That was SummerSlam 2018 when he wore that against Samoa Joe. So we need that figure ASAP.
Yeah. Awesome. So what were your overall thoughts on Backlash France?
Absolute best case scenario for a B show, man. This was a B show all the way, just kind of looking at the build and the match lineup and stuff. But this was excellent. Really, it definitely, you know, it puts you in the mind of Backlash 2023, which is a huge compliment because I thought that was one of the top five or six shows across all wrestling last year. So I was very, very entertained, man. It was and I love daytime wrestling, man.
I was gonna say daytime wrestling was awesome. We also got a Stardust reference. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty cool moment when we got the Stardust reference. But yeah, afternoon pay-per-view. I mean, it would have been morning for us, but you know, we didn't get to watch it till this afternoon. But daytime wrestling is the absolute best, man.
What do you think, Sheen, of the WrestleMania 41 in Vegas?
I think it's going to be awesome. I mean, solid vibe. Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be incredible. You know, you already know, like, all of the WWE is going to go hard on the Vegas theme for WrestleMania, but yeah, I won't be going. It's gonna be expensive. So expensive.
WrestleMania is already expensive, and Las Vegas is already expensive. Like, whatever. Yeah. You know, they said tonight this show broke the record for the biggest arena show they've ever done.
Yeah.
You could already go and book it, dude. Any record, any financial record there is to break, they're gonna break it next year, unless somehow they just fall off a cliff between now and next April. It is April 20th, man. I got to look. I think this is going to be the latest WrestleMania we've ever had.
Yeah, and it's Easter weekend. So it's like, you know, I think it's just going to be a weird kind of weekend. You know what I mean?
How's it going to be weird? I don't feel like Easter is that big of a deal.
Oh, God.
I mean, people take their fancy selfies in the morning and then it's over. Like, I mean, is Easter affecting anybody watching WrestleMania?
Sorry, Christians.
I'm just saying, dude, like, what does Easter have to do with WrestleMania?
You go to sunrise service, you go to church, you have Easter dinner, Easter lunch, you do family stuff, you do egg hunts, you do all the different things.
Down to watch WrestleMania 6 or 7 at night. I just feel like Easter is going to have any, I feel like that's going to be an absolute negligible impact on WrestleMania weekend.
Maybe.
So you think people are going to be like, fuck, man, I'm pooped out from all this Easter, dude. I'm not watching that, WrestleMania.
Tell that to Brett Charles. Had to go this WrestleMania. He had to go to his in-laws for Easter dinner and had to miss night two of WrestleMania.
I feel like that's going to be the big exception. I don't think it's going to. I think next year is going to smash all WrestleMania wrestling financial records. Easter be damned.
All right. Well. Happy Resurrection Day. Jesus, sorry your party's so lame.
I'm just saying, you say you think it's going to make it weird. It's not like it's on Christmas night, dude. It's Easter. What's going to be weird about it?
I guess nothing, dude.
All right. Do we got questions for the mailbag?
I sure hope so.
We asked you guys to answer a question for us last week when we went off the air. Answers this time. Will it be weird having WrestleMania on Easter Sunday?
I don't think weird is the right word.
What you said though.
Well, okay, I did say weird, but I think maybe inconvenient, because I think there are people, you know, probably not heathens like us, but like there are people that do a lot of family stuff.
If it was Easter happening weekend, on Easter morning, I'd agree with you, dude. But I feel like I don't feel like there's any primetime Easter activities in my life. I mean, I do. Yeah, dude, we're not necessarily like hardcore churchgoers, but we do. I typically have always celebrated Easter every year. Even before we had kids, there would be some sort of Easter related activity. It's never stretched past 1 o'clock, dude. Easter is a hardcore like morning, early afternoon holiday, dude.
True. I mean, but there's churches. I mean, I grew up in like, you do like Easter cantatas where they do like, you know, a play of like the resurrection of, you know, of Jesus and like all of this stuff. Right. So like there's things happening on Easter that, you know, may interfere with your viewing of
maybe
WrestleMania.
I'll say this, dude, Easter happens every freaking year. Roman and Rock is going to be once in a lifetime and something we've been building to for over a decade at this point. So, you know, you can make up the slack in 2026 on Easter.
Okay. All right. Well, listener mail. Zach Hertzler, what was on the menu while you were watching Backlash? Well, today we kind of had like a clean out the fridge day. We kind of had like a little, like the whole week of stuff.
My mom's been staying with us a couple of days, yeah. So we've been eating out at restaurants way more than we usually do.
Yeah, we got some pizza. We had some tacos. And so like
some leftover McDonald's. A hodgepodge of just leftovers in the fridge. So
yeah. So we were just like, you know, just eating whatever. And, you know, we did make some s'mores on the fire pit outside. So the kids were super excited because we watched it out on the porch. But yeah, no special Backlash menu per se.
Another question for feedback. Let us know what you guys call that at your house. Like I said, we call it clean out the fridge night. I know some people just call it like leftovers night. If you got some sort of you know, catchphrase,
you know,
or
what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, yes, what we're talking about that night where you don't cook and it's like, let's just, you know,
fend for yourself night.
Yeah, we call it fend for yourself sometimes also, where everybody can eat whatever they want, but it's going to be something that's already made, like the stove's not getting turned on.
The stove's not getting turned on. Like, no, we're not preparing any like fresh foods, like whatever we have, you can mix and match a plate from the fridge or the pantry or whatever.
Yeah, you can eat some leftover Chinese with a slice of Papa John's and you know, some reheated French fries, dude. So
exactly.
Let us know what you guys call that at your house.
Yeah,
that's what we did today.
It is, as we're recording.
And we did s'mores though.
That's what I said. We went to Kroger and got the stuff for s'mores. The kids were really looking forward to that since we were going to be doing it outside. But as we're recording this, it is Star Wars Day. It is May the 4th. So May the 4th be with you. And Zach Hertzler has a Star Wars related question. So he says, what is your favorite Star Wars movie? And happy May the 4th be with you. Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, that's the favorite, dude. I really love Return of the Jedi, dude. I know critically, Empire Strikes Back is definitely the best. That's got like the most artistic value. But like, dude, if you're telling me I got 3 hours to live and I got to spend it watching a Star Wars movie, I'm putting on Return of the Jedi. You got the Ewoks, you got the huge happy ending. That's just the one that kind of stirs my soul the most. Even recognize that Empire was the best film. And dude, I think Rogue One gives Empire a hell of a run for its money, dude. Rogue One was a badass movie also for the modern day Star Wars movies.
Rogue One's awesome. This may be controversial. I don't know how all the super, super hardcore Star Wars marks feel, but I thought Force Awakens was
freaking
awesome, dude.
Force Awakens was great, too. Nostalgia blast. That was like, Force Awakens was, if you let all like the fans just kind of fantasy book what the new Star Wars movie would be, that's what it would come out as. So it was really, really good.
Yeah,
well.
And you got BB-8. BB-8's my favorite droid. I think he's just like the cutest little thing you've ever seen in your life. Yeah. So
all the new characters introduced were really, really likable. You get Han Solo dying. Like, yeah, Force Awakens was freaking awesome. The rest of like the new trilogy, I think, stumbled a little bit. It wasn't bad, but it didn't live up to that first one. So I think that kind of weakens Force Awakens overall because of what came after. But as a standalone film, Force Awakens was outstanding.
Yeah, and we had the introduction of Kylo Ren, which I thought was, you know, he was badass.
Yeah, all the new characters were great, with Kylo Ren being the headliner. He was an awesome, awesome villain, dude. Adam Driver's such a talented actor.
Yeah.
And a vet. He's a former Marine.
I was going to say he's a former Marine. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, either Empire Strikes Back or Force Awakens for me. Is Force Awakens, I think that's the highest grossing Star Wars movie, right? Of all time.
I'd have to look. I don't know if any of the other ones beat it. I know it's up there. But I think adjusted for inflation, I want to say the original Star Wars may still be the number one all time.
Yeah, dude. That makes sense, dude. I mean, the original trilogy, all three of those movies are excellent,
great,
dude.
Yeah.
And like,
they still hold up too, man, which shout out to practical effects in movies, dude. Like, I still think those you can watch those and they don't look dated. You know, I think a big part of it is that the cool thing about Star Wars was, sorry to keep going down the rabbit hole, but
it's
I love Star
Wars Day, dude.
Yeah, I really, really fucking love Star Wars, man. The thing that was really, I think, really kind of set it apart and made it just feel so alive was that back in the, you know, up until then, any science fiction was or like futures, like space science fiction type stuff was always presented as super sterile, right? Like very clean,
like lab.
Yeah,
like,
very, very clean, very, very bright. And Star Wars had this like lived in patina, right? It was dusty. Dude.
Yes.
It's dusty. You see rusty robots, man. You know, the Millennium Falcon looks like
it was
put together with duct tape.
Type.
Yeah, it just looked lived in. And that just added a layer of realism and accessibility that I think made it just, you know, get right up in your heart, dude, and just, you know, stay there forever. I mean, I watched the Star Wars movies when I was like 5 years old, man. I still remember like that feeling as a kid seeing those movies for the first time.
Yeah, they're freaking awesome, dude. And the kids have watched some, they watched all three of the originals or just a New Hope?
Bits and pieces, man. They've seen bits and pieces. We haven't done a proper Star Wars room with the kids. We're kind of working through Harry Potter right now, and then we'll probably do Star Wars next. Brett's really into it. He's really, really wanting to watch Star Wars, so I'm looking forward to showing it to him. The little bits here and there that they've seen, they've really enjoyed.
Are Black Series figures still going? Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, we had a ton of Black Series figures at one point, and then we just
downsized whenever the Bratman was on the way.
Yeah, it's just too many things to collect. Matt Carlos, if we had the hidden gem, give us a question. If we had, for whatever reason, if we, for whatever reason, don't like to call it the Triple H Paul Levesque era, what are you calling this era, even though it's still maybe too early to tell? I've heard global era, new vision era, and entertainment era. I think we should just call it the prime era.
I like that, dude.
You know, like it's like, WWE's in its prime.
Works on a couple levels.
And
dude.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, got the prime sponsorship.
Yeah, I mean... it's never going to compare to when you're a kid, right? Because wrestling's such a nostalgia trip, watching it as an adult. But, dude, this is really the best I remember it being, man. I mean that. As far as WWE specifically, the biggest thing, it's just a game changer, dude. It's something that even the Attitude Era didn't have this. Like, Triple H has restored that kind of, like, social credit with the fans where we're cheering the baby faces and booing the heels. And that goes so far to making the show just so engaging, man. Like I've always loved the heels. Even as a kid, I love the freaking bad guys, man. I always did. But it's so much fun when everybody is cheering who they're supposed to cheer and booing who they're supposed to boo. And you don't got this subversiveness that you had during the Cena years the Roman years and stuff, man, where it just becomes this kind of mishmash, dude, of like, you know,
it almost feels like the fans are like, we're too cool for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just
now
like,
everybody's showing up to the shows and we're buying into what they're giving us. And it makes it so, so enjoyable and so, so fun, man. Like, you know, when the crowd singing Cody's theme tonight, dude, I don't even like Cody, man. Like I tease Brett all the time and call him Cody Crybaby, man, but you can't help but just have us be smiling from ear to ear as you're seeing the fans all singing Cody's theme tonight. It's just, it's a lot of fun right now. And it's really, you know, it makes you feel like your time was paid off for, you know, the 2018, 2019 year sitting through that slog of just horrible creative, God, man.
Don't take me back there. Yeah, I agree. I do think it's too early to tell what this new era is going to be called. I think, you know, there's no way to preemptively know what the next years are going to hold because there's just so much that's going to change over the next few years. But yeah, for now we'll just I think the prime era works.
I like it.
Works well.
And you could trademark. You can make money off that, dude.
Yeah. exactly. Oh, Logan Paul's licking his chops, dude. Are you excited for, oh, this is Zach Kurtz. Are you excited for Bloodline versus Bloodline 2.0 later on down the road? We kind of talked about this. Absolutely. I am so here for all things Bloodline.
I need Roman and the Usos to be outnumbered by the new Bloodline, and all of a sudden Sami Zayn's music hits, dude. That is going to be like crack for the freaking wrestling fans, dude. The all-timer of a pop, man.
Yeah, I already got goosebumps just thinking about it, dude, when Sammy's music hits.
And seeing Paul and seeing Paul Heyman just be overjoyed, dude, yes. that like the OG Bloodline's back together, dude. Because that was the best Bloodline moments, man. It's two moments that stick out, dude, for my absolute favorite Bloodline. One, Survivor Series 2022 for War Games when they came out. You know, that was after the match. That's when Jay finally accepted Sammy as part of the Bloodline. Everybody was, and that entrance was just awesome, dude. You know, you got all the guys coming out with all the belts. And then the press conference, you know, funny enough, she was just talking about Logan Paul, the press conference for Crown Jewel when Roman was going to be fighting Logan Paul. That was the first time we saw Sammy come out as just a normal Bloodline member. And you had Roman with both belts, the Usos with both sets of tag belts. Solo was the North American champion NXT at the time. And then Sammy's with them also. And they're coming out to cut that press conference about Roman and Logan Paul fighting. And it just... I mean, they seemed epic. Like I said, dude, there's the Sopranos, man. They were the freaking mob of WWE. Like, the Bloodline was just the best,
dude,
man.
It still absolutely blows my mind how Sammy went from just, like, the little quippy comedy act that he was, like, doing with the Usos and stuff and Roman, and then, like, just got fully integrated into the Bloodline and being one of the most compelling parts of the Bloodline for a period of time.
He put the heart and soul
dude.
In the Bloodline, dude. Yeah. He really did. Like, they had the cool factor. They had the in-ring success. Sammy is what made it alive, and like Jay finally accepting Sammy. You saw it.
Dude, I got tears in my eyes when that happened, man.
Yeah, and if you go back and watch like the absolutely amazing biography they did on Roman Reigns, when he talks about the Bloodline, you know, he talks about like all the awesome work, you know, he talks about what he did and Paul and the Usos, and then you just see Roman grin from ear to ear, and he says, yeah, and even Sammy also. Like, he gives Sammy the credit for making the Bloodline as awesome as it was. Like,
I think he extended the life. I've said this before, but he really like extended the Bloodline as we knew it. Right. Because there was we were all thinking like, oh man, like, cause there was dissension between, you know, Jay and Jimmy and Roman, and they all kind of come together and like, well, when is this going to implode? But like Sammy just kind of breathed new life into what could have just gone stale really quickly. And yeah, it was awesome. All right. Zach Hertzler, thoughts on the Main Street Posse. You got thoughts on the Mean Street Posse?
They were cool, dude.
It's the most random question.
Yeah, I like the Mean Street Posse. I'd love to see some figures of them someday, dude. I don't know if we're going to get any more Shane figures or not. It seems like Shane's kind of back, just, you know, not part of the WWE family anymore. But, yeah, I like them. You know, Pete Gast, yeah, I'm down with the Mean Street Posse, man. They were a cool little heel faction back in the Attitude Era.
That was just so, I mean, I just wonder where Zach Hurst like, you know what? Let's talk about the Mean Street Posse, dude. You know, love it, Zach. So we asked you guys a question last week about why or why not that you watch AEW. Because, you know, we're like, dude, AEW, like the pay-per-views always deliver. Like, what is it that keeps you, like the viewership, you know, the viewership has been so down lately. Like, what keeps you from watching AEW if you don't, or if you did before and you quit watching? And our buddy Alex Eubank, shout out to him. He sent us an answer. He said, I have an answer for the AEW question about why you don't watch if you don't watch. I've never seen a full AEW weekly show or pay-per-view. For me, it's just a capacity issue. I'm purposely capping how much time and energy I put into things. And it's a struggle just to keep up with the interest in WWE, much less another company. With everything else I have going on in life, 4 kids, a busy life, it makes it a bit difficult to invest in more than one wrestling company. And financially, it's more to pay for AEW's pay-per-views versus Peacock. So investing time to watch weekly AEW and not see the pay-per-views doesn't really make sense for me. For me either, to see the payoffs and the best matches. I'm all for AEW and want them to do well, but sometimes you just can't have too many chalk line shorts. Right, Seth Phelps?
That was pretty much perfectly said. A couple other people slid in the DMs and had similar things. We didn't get any responses of people straight up trashing it, which I'm glad. You know, I think that, you know, is a credit to the, you know, the listener base of the Chick Foley Show, because AEW does put out a great product, man. Anybody, not that it's without faults, but anybody that just says AEW sucks, like, dude, yeah, like, open your eyes and watch it, man. AEW puts out.
That's a weak take.
Yeah. AEW puts out a really, really great product. Yeah. The couple other people reached out said the same thing, just not enough time in the week. And at the end of the day, they're picking WWE over AEW with their time, which I get that. I do think WWE is a little bit better right now than AEW, but it's all cyclical, right? Daniel Bryan told us, see, fans are fickle.
Fans are fickle. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think they got something good going with this new Elite gimmick, this new NWO thing. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, he dude, one point that Alex made that is absolutely 100% true. Like, it's just a fact. It's not opinion based. Dude, the pay-per-views being $50 a piece, man, you can, you know, for a year, a Peacock is basically $60 and change. And that's one AEW pay-per-view. So I really think it's important if we're assuming that they are going to get their deal with Warner Brothers renewed. I think it's very, very important that they get a foothold on Max, dude. Even if you still got to pay a premium price, like, let us pay $10 on top of our monthly Max subscription and get them, dude. I think that would be huge just because... Dude, that's a lot. And now they're doing 8 pay-per-views a year. So that's $400 a year you're spending to watch AEW pay-per-views. And not that it wouldn't be worth it, right? Like, I think maybe, what was it, Full Gear last year? The one where it was Jay White, MJF in the main event. I think that's the only time where I walked away from AEW pay-per-view feeling like, you know, maybe I didn't get my money's worth tonight. And even that was just a maybe. It wasn't like a hard no. Every other time, I've always felt like I got my money's worth out of the shows. But yeah, that's steep, dude. That's a big price, man. I mean, that's a water bill. That's a big chunk of an electric bill a month that you're paying to watch a couple hours of wrestling. But yeah, that was kind of the general consensus we got for Fallout for last week was that, you know, it's not necessary. I know there's people out there that hardcore hate AEW, and if they, I really don't get that at all. But for the Chick Foley listeners, it was mostly just, you know, WWE's just a little bit better right now, and that's where they're spending their, you know, their time, dude. They're going to spend it watching WWE.
I mean, even for us for a while, I mean, we weren't watching weekly WWE television.
We were just watching AEW, Wednesday night was wrestling night.
Yeah, we were watching AEW because it's just, again, like you said, you only have a limited capacity of what you can watch. And like WWE's product was like it wasn't must-see TV on the weekly. And so,
AEW for a while there was like my absolute ideal of what I wanted from wrestling, like just injected in my veins, man.
Yeah. So it's hard to keep up, and we totally get that. We have two kids. Brett is in, I mean, he literally went from soccer game this morning to karate right after. It's just like, you know, I mean, we're on the go.
We only have a couple of days a week where we don't have extracurricular.
Yeah. And Seth coaches. School. Yeah. Four schools.
And I'm coaching all the sports and stuff, man. So
yeah. So it's, I mean, we totally get that. And like you said, it's just the investment, and sometimes it's just more fun just to focus on one thing and get really, go all in on it and get really, really into it. And I think for most kids and stuff, you know, Alex has four boys, and I think, you know, if you're going to introduce them to wrestling, I think it's
WWE is way more accessible.
WWE is way more accessible for the young kids. And it's more, I think, a little bit more appropriate. I mean, I don't know. So the Rock stuff that was happening was a little bit,
dicey. There's edgy stuff on both, but I think, just the presentation, you know, it really kind of outlined it to me going to, you know, we went to Revolution on, I want to say March 3rd. And then we went to that huge SmackDown in Memphis, March 15th. And the big difference is just the presentation style. Like WWE is just much more broad and the characters are much more well-defined, right? AEW, there's so many people that are like, this guy's a really good wrestler and that's the character. Whereas like, I feel like if you'd never watched wrestling before, you could go to that WWE show. And by the time somebody gets to the ring and the bell rings, you know, their character, right? Yeah. Like, okay, these guys are the LWO, right? They're representing like, you know, the Latino population and going for that. Like these guys are, you know, this guy's a freaking Viking. That's what he's doing. This guy's, you know, this guy's the final boss. He must be like the king of this shit. Like,
but if you see Kyle O'Reilly coming out, you're like,
it's another guy. What the fuck is this guy? Even Will Ospreay, badass as Will Ospreay
is. Yeah, exactly. If you don't know who Will Ospreay is, you're just like, yeah, this is
this guy's just this crazy wrestler, dude, doing these insane moves. Yeah, I think that was the, yeah, I think that's maybe something that AEW could lean in a little bit more.
I shout out to AEW. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the show, but when Seth went to Revolution, they were giving away these little kits for like for kids. Like they had ear noise canceling headphones. They had little Tinker Toys and stuff like that on the inside, like sensory type stuff. You know,
people may be a little bit overwhelmed by
people who might have some sensory issues with like the lights or the visuals or the hearing or whatever. They were giving away these like free little bags of like stuff, which I thought was super super cool.
Amazing earphones, which you definitely need.
Very
for kids,
thoughtful,
dude.
Yeah, dude. They gave it. Seth got two of those little packs for, you know, one for Brett, one for Stella, and they're
free and they're super. They're legit like the type of like earmuffs that they get. So you guys know I'm in the Navy. They're the same type of like hearing protection you get. if you're working on the flight line, dude, like they're like the really nice, like metal, yes, metal cans and stuff, man. And yeah, they gave them away for free. So yeah, that was awesome.
So they do cater to the children in the in-person shows. So I thought that was a really cool. So if you're there, they definitely look for that. I don't know if they do that at every show or just their pay-per-views or just the, you know, the big shows or whatever, but I want to shout out AEW for, you know, making the investment to bring that company on that makes those. Do you remember what the company was called?
No, off the top of my head.
Bummer.
No.
We'll put a, hold on. We will put a link into the show notes for the company. But yeah, shout out to those guys for making the investment for the kids who may be there in person.
All right, Sheen, hit us with some closing thoughts and we'll get out of here for this week.
It was a great show. I hope you guys have a great night and sorry, Jesus.